Tonight I'm going to talk about compassion and loving kindness, the path of love. And it seems like one fitting way to honor the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy. Of course, we have these words associated with Buddhism, compassion and loving kindness. And there are actually two of the four what are known as illimitable minds, mind states without limit. Love or loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And these four, they're called mind states beyond limit because if we follow any one of them with devotion, they take us beyond the limits of ego. They take us beyond ourselves. And they're extraordinary in a way because they're so synergistic that they all support one another, that developing any one necessarily grounds you in the other three, you know. And so I'm focusing primarily on the first two, loving kindness and compassion. Loving kindness is the translation of metta in Pali or Maitri in Sanskrit, and compassion, karuna. And both of these have a slightly more technical meaning in the original languages. Technically, loving kindness or metta is the ability to connect with other souls when they're in a place of joy and to enhance their joy by connecting with them, by the ability to share joy with others. Whereas karuna is the ability to be with people in their suffering and by our connection provide some consolation for their suffering, you know. And so compassion is certainly not a bad word for that. And I'll say, you know, according to Buddhism, developing love, developing compassion, we're developing our deepest nature. And so there's something, you know, as we all know, when we're in a place of loving kindness and compassion, it feels good to be in that place. You know, it's we feel good about ourselves and good about our impact on the world. We feel much better than when we're walking around with various kinds of attachments or, you know, under a burden of woes or something like that. And so at one level, the path of love, the path of walking through the world with loving kindness and compassion is one of joy. But that is not to say that it's easy, you know. And, you know, certainly the example that we take from Dr. King's life is that the work, you know, truly walking the path of love is anything but a prance in the park. And so what is challenging about walking the path of love? I think there are a few things. I mean, first of all, to walk a path of love means we have to be deeply vulnerable. We have to allow the world to touch the tenderness of our heart. It's almost like as if we're, as it were, walking heart first into the world. And often when I talk about love, I feel that I have to specify, you know, having an open heart doesn't necessarily mean having poor boundaries. And in fact, the only way we can really sustain being so wide open in love is if we have excellent boundaries, you know. So I meet the person with anger or something like that. I'm not going to take on any of their blame. I'm not going to take on any of their story. But I'm still going to have compassion for them, that sort of thing. Another thing that's challenging about walking the path of love is it requires a kind of honesty about, first of all, the ways that we're suffering, you know, the kinds of pains and kinds of struggles that we have, and also a kind of honesty about ways that we have caused suffering to others in ways that, you know, it's hard to look at, but ways that I still might be causing suffering to others, you know. It's very hard to be honest with ourselves about that, you know, especially if we like to think of ourselves as good people. And I think it's worthwhile saying also that walking a path of love, truly walking a path of love in a profound, committed way, I think is a rare thing. What's much more common are those things that you might say are shallow imitations of walking the path of love. For example, the person who is a people pleaser, the person who tries to be nice all the time. And there's kind of a superficial resemblance to love, and it has some of the qualities of love, you know, but the person who's a people pleaser or the person who's trying to be nice, their chances are they're more attached to getting a kind of attention for their behavior, you know, and if their attachment is threatened, then suddenly they might be anything other than nice, you know, that sort of thing. Walking a path of love requires having a big container. And by container, I mean the ability to hold a large experience. You know, how large of an experience, how powerful of an emotional energy from someone can I simply hold with loving kindness and compassion, you know? And it's tricky. The way we grow our container is by leaning into what is uncomfortable every day, leaning into what challenges us. You know, if I live a life of extreme comfort, I'll have a very small container and then I'll be blown out by almost everything, you know. And so it's funny, on the one hand, walking a path of love is about tremendous acceptance, really tremendous allowing, you know, that incredibly generous energy of just allowing other people to show up as they are, you know, and I think we've all had the experience of being with people who extended that invitation to us, and there's just something wonderfully refreshing and relaxing about being in the presence of someone who just absolutely accepts us as we are. And so there's that side of it, but there's also the side that when we love, part of that is challenging. Part of that might involve speaking truths that are uncomfortable. You know, disrupting the pleasant status quo to point out something that is more problematic. Certainly one of the great teachers of love that ever walked the planet was Jesus. And, you know, according to the story, he upset a lot of people with the things that he said, you know. And so it's not that he was making no attempt to be nice. He was making no attempt to be a people pleaser, you know. And so walking the path of love, of course, that acceptance has to go outward, but it also has to go inward. And here I think modern psychology has really brought out and made something much more explicit that was implicit in the original Buddhist teachings, that anything that I can't accept in here, I can't accept out there. And so, you know, and it's worthwhile remembering that really many of the parts of the psyche confront us as others, that there's otherness without, but also otherness within, you know. And can I hold the same standards of compassion and love to the others I meet within as I do to the others I meet in the external world? you know, it's hard because there can be a level of criticism and even vituperation from some of the inner voices at a level that we don't often get in polite society from other people. And I, as I've said many times before, I think the paradox of self-love is we have to love the places that feel unlovable, accept the places that feel unacceptable, and forgive the places that feel unforgivable. And so I think some wonderful questions for all of us to consider are, how committed are we to love? How committed are we to opening the tenderness of our heart to the world? How willing are we to commit day by day, every single day, to walking deeper and deeper into love? You know, I really think we live in a time and place where there is, we live in a time and place that is starving for love. And it's starving for people who are truly committed to love. And, I mean, even half a century later, I think this is part of what is magical about the legacy of Dr. King. Here was a man who was profoundly committed to love and really gave his life in walking this path. You know, it always touches me. He was shot to death because he was going to support sanitation workers. He went to Memphis to support a sanitation worker strike. Like that is the depth of his love. So at this point, I'll share the quote sheet. Share it with the Zoomies first, and then the Roomies. Incidentally, I'll say it's always very tricky on these holiday Mondays where I'm going to get the quote sheets printed. I had to whip this up early and print it at school on Friday. A couple from the Buddha. The Buddha says, just as with her own life, a mother shields from hurt her own son, her only child, let all embracing thoughts for all beings be yours. That one is just so touching, like the intensity of a mother's love and care, have that intensity for all beings. The Buddha also said, if you look the whole world over, you will never find another more worthy of loving kindness than yourself. And from this love, you will hold all as dear. We cannot harm others when we genuinely love ourselves. From St. Augustine of Hippo, who by all standards was an incredibly conservative Christian, but one of his more radical statements was, love and then do as you like. And the idea that if you're really acting from a place of profound love, you can do no wrong. Rumi said, grief can be the garden of compassion. If you keep your heart open through everything, your pain can become your greatest ally in your life's search for love and wisdom. And it is so true that if it weren't for all the pain that we've went through, we wouldn't have compassion and be able to connect with others who are in suffering. Meister Eckhart said, you may call God love and you may call God goodness, but the best name for God is compassion. Dr. Schweitzer said, until he extends his circle of compassion to include all living things, man will not himself find peace. From Ramana Maharshi, we used to have a picture of him somewhere in this room. Ramana Maharshi said, your own self-realization is the greatest service you can render the world. And really, I would say, even expanding that, all of our spiritual work is the greatest gift we give to the world. You know, and the spiritual work that I'm doing, the wrestling with demons I'm doing every day, sitting in meditation, that's not work for me. That's work that belongs to the world. Eric Hoffer said, compassion is the antitoxin of the soul. Where there is compassion, even the most poisonous impulses remain relatively harmless. A couple from Thomas Merton, incredibly wise Christian monk, he said, the whole idea of compassion is based on a keen awareness of the interdependence of all these living beings, which are all part of one another and all involved in one another. He also said, to say that I am made in the image of God is to say that love is the reason for my existence, for God is love. Nelson Mandela said, our human compassion binds us to one another, not in pity or patronizingly, but as human beings who have learned how to turn our common suffering into hope for the future. Thich Nhat Hanh said, when you are guided by compassion and loving kindness, you are able to look deeply into the heart of reality and see the truth. You know, and this whole idea that, you know, in some sense we really see somebody as they are when we're looking at them most generously, you know. Ram Dass says, as we grow in our consciousness, there will be more compassion and more love. And then the barriers between people, between religions, between nations will begin to fall. Yes, we have to beat down the separateness. The Dalai Lama says quite simply, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. Gary Zukav said, only choices made in love are compassionate. There are no exceptions. Do you have the courage to act with an empowered heart without attachment to the outcome? If not, you have no ability to give or experience compassion. This is the shocking truth. A few from Sharon Salzberg, she said, we need the compassion and courage to change the conditions that support our suffering. These conditions are things like ignorance, bitterness, negligence, clinging, and holding on. She also said, we can learn the art of fierce compassion, redefining strengths, deconstructing isolation, and renewing a sense of community. Practicing letting go of rigid us versus them thinking while cultivating the power and clarity in response to difficult situations. She also said, someone who has experienced trauma also has gifts to offer all of us in their depth and their knowledge of universal vulnerability and their experience of the power of compassion. The artist Alex Gray said, share your presence with others, no boundaries, completely, openly, lovingly. Love is what makes us alive. Amma, the hugging saint, says, the first step in spiritual life is to have compassion. A person who is kind and loving never needs to go searching for God. God rushes toward any heart that beats with compassion. It is God's favorite place. I love that. Ellen DeGeneres said, I've learned compassion from being discriminated against. Everything bad that's ever happened to me has taught me compassion. Brené Brown says, when we're looking for compassion, we need someone who is deeply rooted, able to bend, and most of all, embraces us for our strengths and struggles. And a couple from Yongle Minyar, compassion is the spontaneous wisdom of the heart. It's always with us. It always has been and always will be. When it arises, we simply learn to see how strong and safe we are. He also said, if we could see the whole truth of any situation, our only response would be one of compassion. And I often think it's true that if you see any yelling, mean person out in the world, if we could just watch a tape of everything that has ever happened to that person from birth onward, it would break our hearts.